Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Have you ever been camping? I have, and I loved it. I have slept under the stars and in tents. And years ago, I owned a pop-up tent trailer, which I used on landscape painting trips. I remember one time in particular, when I was creating pastel landscapes in the desert wilderness of Arizona. I was in between meeting up with other artist friends, and I spent one night alone. I shall never forget how alone and not alone I felt. On the edge of a breathtaking canyon surrounded by desert shrubs and dramatic vistas. The sounds of birds or bugs was almost zero, and the silence was deafening. And that night, my breath was taken away by the sunset, the broad brushstrokes of wild colors streaking across the sky. God's presence and the powerful beauty of creation filled my soul. Being alone in the Arizona wilderness did not feel scary. I felt safe, like I was meant to be there. Years later, on a cold spring morning, I sat transfixed, overwhelmed by another wilderness beauty. I was with others, but alone in my spot on that canyon ledge in the Holy Land, watching the sun rise over a desert wilderness. This was the wilderness that Jesus walked into from the River Jordan. I tried to still my beating heart. I strained to listen, hoping to hear the echo of his voice, his prayers. The wilderness has been and is an instrument of transformation, used by God to awaken inner truth and freedom, the freedom to be a prophetic voice, the freedom to love, a freedom from fear. And the wilderness can be a season of struggle or disorientation, as in hearing shocking news that changes everything in an instant, like the word cancer. The end of what was is a part of a season of wilderness. What was comfortable, who we thought we were, like the end of a marriage or relationship, or our memories, our health, a job, a place we thought we would always call home, or death. Death experienced for the families in Parkland, Florida, who have lost loved ones at that high school shooting, teens and adults gunned down this past Wednesday. A violent event can thrust all of us into a painful wilderness of questions and grief. May we come to know that in aloneness we are not alone. We are held in the hidden presence and power of God, who can lead us forward with a new voice, with a new faith, hope, and love, together, seeking common ground. believing in the rainbow covenant in our Genesis reading. For in any wilderness, there is movement of grace. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and in those years, they were scarred by struggle, but transformed, led forth into the covenant and promises of God. Our lives, too, are scarred by struggle, but transformed by hope. A wilderness experience can be the source of revelation, inspiration, and prophecy. The wilderness served as the location for the ministry of John the Baptist. And people came to John, who spoke up, and they listened, then joined the journey for a change of heart. Jesus was drawn to John's wilderness and to his destiny. Jesus would transform the experience of Israel's 40 years in the wilderness and rewrite her story by his life, and therefore change the destiny of us all. So Jesus was drawn to the wilderness of John the Baptist. His baptismal moment revealed the power of God as the heavens were torn apart. And God spoke into the heart of Jesus a message that became the seed of his transformation. He was the beloved Son, in whom God was well pleased. God in him for us. God in the families of Parkland, Florida. God in us this Sunday. God interconnects all things. God interconnects our prayers no matter where we are, especially in wilderness moments. From the wilderness location of John the Baptist, Jesus was driven by the power of the Spirit into the wilderness, into a desert landscape of dry hills and valleys. So there I sat, looking down on that wilderness landscape, straining to hear the voice of Jesus. But we have some of his words written into the Gospels we use every Sunday. We only hear a few words today in Mark's Gospel, a few words after his wilderness ordeal, words that caused a change in him. He would be the one. The time was fulfilled in him. He was the one to proclaim the kingdom of God is now. It is good news. So repent, Jesus said, allow change and transformation. If I can do it, you can do it, because I did not do it on my own. Follow me into a profound new attunement with God. Follow me and let us change the world together. Now, Mark's gospel does not mention the temptations that are described in the gospels of Matthew and Luke, so don't go there today. The wilderness setting is what interested Mark, not the temptations. That Jesus was not overthrown by Satan becomes obvious from the rest of the stories that follow in Mark. Jesus taught and healed with authority. Jesus had power, the power of the very God that protected him. Jesus survived wild beasts. Angels waited on him. That was how brief the scene was. The dangers of the wilderness and the protection of God. And eventually, Jesus will even tame the wilderness. And he will go there when he wants to pray, to be alone, but not alone. Jesus goes into wilderness moments with us. Jesus goes into our fears, our anger, our frustrations. That is what we call the incarnation, God with us. I reread a book recently entitled Gift of the Red Bird, A Spiritual Encounter. It is about a woman whose husband and son were killed in a car accident when she was 24 years old. In The Gift of the Red Bird, the author writes of her emotional and spiritual struggles, her anger and her questions, and her search for a faith that was stronger than her fears. 20 years after the death of her husband and child, the author realizes that she has gradually lost her sense of a connection with God and with what was essential in life itself. In an adult education catalog, she reads of an introductory talk and several evening classes for those interested in making a wilderness retreat. The experience will include a 3-day solo fast in the wilderness, which ends with a night-long vigil on the third evening. The fine print says, "This will appeal to those seeking guidance and inner visions through spending time alone with God in nature." Of the 50 who showed up the first night, 4 made a wilderness retreat. Her book, Gift of the Red Bird, includes her thoughts during her solitary experience in the wilderness of a Texas canyon. She had her jugs of water, a tent, and a walkie-talkie in case of danger, and a red bird who kept visiting her. It was a time of fasting and going inward to meet the wilderness and to look at her life. On the second night of her vision quest, the author experienced a raging storm with the potential of tornadoes. She searched for ways to reduce her fear and tried to have the storm conform to her management, as she put it. And she said, "Only when I learned to become a part of the storm, replacing fear with trust, did I find what I was searching for. God is everywhere." Whether the wilderness is of our choosing or not, we search for meaning. We wrestle to find peace, to find what it is in us that God is trying to resurrect. Especially if the darkness of death or tragedy overshadows the light within. Grace comes in letting go and letting God be God, letting God reveal a pathway. Even when we feel alone, we are not alone. For Jesus left the wilderness transformed. He had encountered the power of God in the wilderness and has passed on that power to us through his Spirit. We are now his voice and his creative love. Therefore, let Lent be an opportunity for your own personal wilderness retreat, for a reawakening of who you are in God. Lent is your invitation to this spiritual adventure. Lent is a pathway into the promises and graces of God. Amen.